Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hosting the So Money podcast for almost 10 years, I've been learning a lot about how to best serve you outside the show. I've begun to offer pop-up workshops and a So Money members club. And with each new line of business, a lot goes on behind every transaction. Stripe helps simplify and ease payments with Tap to Pay on iPhone, which helps me grow revenue and reach through accepting more in-person contactless payments when I'm out in real life promoting my programs. Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe give me the ability to scale quickly and stay flexible with quick setup and no additional hardware required. And it's not just ideal for me. From local pop-ups to global retailers, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe help businesses of all sizes accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. Whether your customers want to use their card, Apple Pay, or other digital wallet, now you can accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone. So Money Episode 618, Grant Sabatier, founder of Millennial Money.
You're listening to So Money with award-winning money guru Farnoosh Torabi. Each day, get a 30-minute dose of financial inspiration from the world's top business minds, authors, influencers, and from Farnoosh herself. Looking for ways to save on gas or double your double coupons? Sorry, you're in the wrong place. Seeking profound ways to live a richer, happier life? Welcome to So Money.
You're listening to So Money, everyone. Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Farnoosh Torabi. Today's guest became a millionaire in just 5 years and all by the age of 30. Grant Sabatier is the founder of Millennial Money, and he'll be sharing how he went from having just $2 in his pocket to crossing the million-dollar threshold. Indeed, it was a fateful day at Chipotle in his early 20s when Grant experienced his financial wake-up call. All he wanted to do was buy a burrito, but he couldn't. He checked his bank balance and realized he had just $2.26 to his name. And he was a recent unemployed college grad living at home like so many millennials. And it was that day that he decided it was time to grow up, time to make a living, and take a stab at this whole adulting thing. And did he ever? You'll have to listen to the episode to learn the rest. Here we go. Here's Grant Sabatier. Grant Sabatier, Mr. Millennial Money, welcome to the show.
Hey, Farnoosh, thanks. Thanks for having me.
You're kind of making a name for yourself, not just as the Millennial Money founder, but as somebody who has achieved enormous success in your 20s. How old are you now?
I'm 32 now. But yeah, all of my real success happened between 25 and 30.
Let's go back to when you had $2.26 to your name. I'm sure you've told this story a lot, but I don't think our audience may have heard it. I haven't heard it. So indulge us. Tell us when you were at Chipotle and you had only a $2.25 to your name and the come to Jesus that you had.
Yeah. So actually, I didn't even make it to Chipotle that day, unfortunately. It was August 24th, 2010. I'd been living back at home with my parents, literally in my childhood bedroom in the same bed I slept in, you know, starting when I was like 9 or 10. And so I'd bounced around a bunch of jobs after college, you know, over a 3-year period, and just nothing really worked out. And it was kind of, you know, just after the Great Recession. And yeah, found myself at home. My parents said, hey, you can crash here for 3 months, you know, but you gotta find your way from then. So I lasted, you know, I had a little bit of money saved, but it only lasted about a month. And so by August, 2010, yeah, I was down to my last $2.26. I woke up, you know, I'd been applying to just hundreds of jobs at the time. You know, I was super dejected. I wasn't hearing back from anyone. So I'd kind of given up, honestly, and woke up, you know, I think it was a Thursday or Friday. And basically I was just hungry. It was like 10 or 11 in the morning, and I looked on my phone, and basically I had $2.26 left and couldn't go and get that burrito. It was kind of a rock bottom moment for me where, you know, I was so dejected, just applied to so many jobs, didn't know what was next, really didn't even know what I wanted to do. And really from that moment, just, you know, made a plan just to never feel that way again. And, you know, started looking at money, careers, my life, my friends' lives, my parents' lives, everyone around me's lives, you know, pretty critically and pretty philosophically to understand, you know, is there a different way to live? Is there a way that I can perhaps, you know, fast track this process, find a job that I love, and really, you know, try to retire as early as possible. At that time, you know, I didn't know anything about financial independence. I didn't know anything about early retirement. I'd never heard of anyone who retired, you know, before the age of like 60. So it was just such a foreign concept that I set the, you know, somewhat naive and arbitrary goal to try to make $1 million as quickly as possible. And that was as sophisticated as I got at that point.
All right. So you couldn't buy that burrito. And let's not fast forward, because I want to know what happened in the days and the months that followed. Did you build a support system? What was on that list of things that you wanted to do? I know you got a job eventually and you were able to double your salary there in a year. That's significant. But what was actually specifically your plan of action?
Yeah, my specific plan of action was really just to, you know, question everything that I'd heard before about money and career. And, you know, I'd spent my last 3 years essentially in a cubicle, locked up, spending every dollar that I made. And I knew that if I was gonna even have a chance at making, you know, $1 million, I was gonna have to, you know, think a little bit differently and see first and foremost what's even possible. So, you know, I was a little bit of a math geek as a kid, and I just took out a piece of paper and a pencil and just started, you know, working with some numbers to try to figure out, you know, how much money would I need to actually save in order to have $1 million? You know, I knew kind of the basics around investing. I didn't really know much about index funds at the time, but I really started with the math. And, you know, I looked at some of the basic principles. You know, I'd read maybe one personal finance book. I think I'd read Tobias's The Only Investment Guide You'll Ever Need in college at some point. So I had a basic understanding that, you know, you needed to save money and invest. But, you know, the common wisdom was that, you know, at the time was that you needed to save maybe 5, 10, 15% of your income. And so I started with that and basically calculated, you know, if I could make $50,000 and save 10%, you know, it's only $5,000 a year. How long would I have to do that, even expecting, you know, maybe a 5% interest rate to actually be able to retire? And it hit me pretty quickly. I literally remember this moment. It was a few days after that Chipotle burrito incident where I realized, you know, I was never going to be able to retire unless I was able to make a lot more money. So the math just didn't add up. You know, saving $5,000, $10,000 a year, even in a great market, you're going to have to just work forever. So I knew that, you know, there was only a few variables that I could control: how much money I was making, or try to control how much money I was making, how much money I was, you know, spending, and how much money I was investing, and kind of that investing rate. So I really had to figure out kind of the principles of that. And then I started taking stock of my skills. So it was one of those things where, you know, I was haphazardly applying to every job I could, you know, a associate radio producer. I didn't have any skills for that. An associate editor. I didn't have any skills for that. A business analytics intern. I didn't have any skills for that. You know, so I took stock of my skills and realized, you know, I was a decent writer. I was pretty good at public speaking, and I was okay at math. But, you know, that was pretty much it. You know, I didn't have a ton of, you know, what I'd call sort of marketable skills. And so I realized first and foremost that I needed to get some skills that were in demand. And this all happened pretty fast. Around September, you know, I was just thinking, I was literally Google searching, like, you know, careers in demand, jobs of the future, those sorts of things. And I remember just, you know, I was Googling all of this on my phone at the time. And, you know, I was, you know, it's kind of ironic. I had no money, but I still had the latest and greatest iPhone. You know, it was just kind of a remnant of my financial patterns before I started saving. And yeah, I was just Googling, and it kind of hit me. And, you know, I saw these ads just on Google. And, you know, this is like early kind of mobile device search. So there was, you know, two or three Google ads. And I was like, wow, these ads, like everyone's using their phone to search now. What are these ads? And I clicked through and I literally remember the search. It was like, how do you run ads on Google? And, you know, I read all about it and figured out, you know, that there was this thing called Google AdWords and that essentially, Google ads are real time. They're based on a real time auction system. And that really intrigued me. You know, it's kind of competitive in nature. And so, you know, really kind of fell in love with the idea of Google advertising and geeked out over a 60-day period. I became a Google AdWords certified in like 3 weeks, then became Google Analytics certified in the next month, and pretty much taught myself digital marketing through YouTube. This is back in 2010. So I was watching, you know, early tutorials about it, and taught myself it enough that within 60 days, or it was more like 90 days, but it was kind of a 60 to 90 day period, I was able to get a job at a digital marketing agency running Google AdWords campaigns. You know, it was something that not a lot of people did. It was in demand. And I went to the hiring manager and I said, you know, I don't have any experience, but here I'm Google certified. Here's my certification. I really love this. You know, give me a shot. And I was, she later told me that I was so passionate about it that she had to give me an opportunity. And that was it. Taught myself from scratch and was able to get a $50,000 job immediately.
Google University.
Yeah. Yeah. And you can still learn it for free. Everyone that asks me, like, how can I make more money? I literally just send them the Google AdWords, the Google University link. And I just say, learn AdWords. You know, this is like the future.
And it was in this job that you doubled your salary. So earning more was part of the equation. But also you invested your money. I read in the Washington Post, there was a profile of you that said that while some of us may have been afraid to invest during the financial crisis, you went full steam ahead and that was very helpful.
Oh yeah. I mean, once I got that $50,000 job, I was so excited because I by that time, while I was learning AdWords, I was also reading everything that I could about money. So during that time, I read Your Money, Your Life, I'll Teach You to Be Rich, you know, just a bunch of books. I soaked them all up. So literally I was, every day I was learning AdWords and I was reading about money. So by the time that I got that $50,000 a year job, I was like, I'm going to save and invest as much of this as possible. I knew at the age of 24, I had time on my side, that the market was down. And so immediately when I got my first paycheck, I invested 80% of it. So I was just like super stoked. You know, I lived in like such a dumpy apartment. My girlfriend, who's now my wife, my girlfriend at the time, who's now my wife, like literally wouldn't come over to my place because it was such a dump. But I was, you know, I was staying, it was like $400 rent, and I was able to save 80% of my income. And then I got really hungry. I realized, you know, I started seeing like how much the agency I worked for was charging, you know, for what I was doing, and then how much they were paying me. And I figured out that they were making like 4 or 5 times on my salary, you know, on the clients that I was managing. So I was like, hey, you know, there doesn't need to be a middleman here. I'm going to go out and find some of my own clients. So I got really aggressive. And within a few months of starting that full-time job, I found my first client, which was a small law firm here in Chicago. And basically, I told them, I said, hey, I know how Google advertising works. I can help you get clients. You know, here's how much money you need to spend, and here's how much I'll charge. And so I was able to sign, you know, a pretty small engagement, but, you know, I over-delivered on that. I ended up building them a website. And then that was the one reference that I needed, and had, you know, that lawyer introduced me to his other lawyer friends, and, you know, very, very quickly, you know, went from basically selling a $5,000 side project to a $100,000 side project about 3 or 4 months later. So I more than doubled my salary my first year. I actually ended up making $400,000 within 12 months of getting that job, all through freelance projects. So I was just, but the thing is, this is one of the things people are like, how did you even do that? You know, I didn't really have a life. You know, it was 24/7. Nonstop. Yeah, it was nonstop. It was like I would work with anyone. I tried to sell as many clients as I could. And then I did it to invest. So every dollar that I invested back then is worth about $3.50 today. So I knew that if I just wanted to make money to invest. I lived on my Vanguard app. You know, I would just get so excited when I would just get a new paycheck and I would just like be able to invest it. a lot of people, you know, I was probably a little obsessed with it, honestly. And I think there's ways to be more balanced about it, but that's just, you know, I went from one extreme to the other, cause I wanted to get as far away as possible from that, you know, emptiness feeling that I had just back home at my parents with nothing.
And of course, the success of your financial process gave life to millennialmoney.com, which is where people can now tap into learning how you did it and, lots of other sort of great money advice. How did you get that URL to begin with? That's a pretty, I feel like that would be a really hot URL.
Yeah. So this is one of my side hustles. I actually invest in domains and buy and sell domains. So I have over 800 of them. I'm actually pretty infamous. I was able to call the Kim and Kanye relationship before they came out. So I actually owned kimandkanye.com, which is pretty funny. But I've just always kind of bought and sold domains.
Have
since.
You sold it?
No, that I ended up getting a cease and desist from Kanye West Clothing Company. So that didn't work out as well for me. But I have sold some pretty high profile domains, and I actually bought Millennial Money in a domain auction a few years before I launched the site. I was pretty excited. You know, I was a big reader of, like, you know, the early sort of Get Rich Slowly and a number of blogs. So I was a fan of the genre. And I thought I wanted to sort of share with the world, but I was like, you know, Grant, like, you know, you only have so much time, and you know, focus your energy on kind of making money and investing. And I always had the dream to one day kind of write about money. And so I picked up that domain in a domain auction. And actually it's pretty funny because I've been offered, you know, pretty large sums of money for it, over the past couple of years, and just really have no interest in selling it at all.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You want to know what's worse than shopping for jeans? Shopping for bras. It's never been fun for me until Third Love came into my life. Third Love was launched to take all the frustration, ick, and ugh out of bra shopping. They make solutions for every bra problem, aka problems. Their bras make it easy to bring back perkiness you haven't seen probably since high school and have straps that actually stay put. Third Love's bras are designed at their headquarters in San Francisco, and they're made from premium materials. They put every style through hours of wear testing on real women, including themselves, before they're given the stamp of approval. And whether you're a AA or an H cup, their virtual fitting room can help find your perfect fit fast. They even invented half cups, so long feeling stuck between two cup sizes that just don't fit. It's time to get your problems solved. Visit thirdlove.com and get $15 off your order with the code podcast15. That's thirdlove.com to get $15 off your order with the code podcast15.
Well, $1 million in your 20s. What's next for you? Like, if I know you're in the process of writing a book, which is going to be coming out next year, but personally for you, I mean, do you have aspirations to retire early? Do you want to make 8 figures? What are your financial goals at this point?
Yeah, I actually have enough money. So I effectively could walk away tomorrow and never work again. based on my calculations, and those are based around me spending, you know, between $50,000 and $75,000 a year for the rest of my life. So I couldn't live somewhere like New York, like you do, and make that work, but it could certainly work in Chicago. It's actually ironic because, you know, I'm now pursuing more of the projects that I'm really passionate about. And Millennial Money is a great example. I built it just because I wanted to write, on the website, but now it's making about, you know, between $15,000 and $20,000 a month, just in advertising and affiliate revenue. So that's something that money has just become a byproduct of something I'm passionate about. So, I'm just so excited to be sharing this story with the world, to be speaking. I've always wanted to be a writer. It was my dream to write a book. And so, you know, getting the book deal with Penguin and working on this, book, which is essentially about how anyone can fast track, their retirement and financial independence. I'm super deep into that and excited about the opportunities that it will open up. I'm also, you know, I'm doing a lot of traveling. I just got back from the south of France. So, you know, I probably lived two or three lifetimes in that 5 years between 25 and 30. And I'm trying to take it a little bit easier now, honestly, because, you know, I'm still dealing with a little bit of the burnout from that period. But that was kind of the sacrifice that I made. And now I'm excited to, you know, pursue more creative projects. I'm working with a few electronic music artists, helping them develop. And I, you know, I really love music. So, yeah, just pretty excited about kind of all the doors that really Millennial Money is opening up, and just some of the seeds that I planted early on, beyond just the business ventures.
Millennials and money is a big category for good reason. What is your counterintuitive advice that you feel is not being projected, that you want to get this message out, that you feel that millennials need to hear when it comes to managing their money wisely?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is kind of money advice and life advice. You know, a lot of people, there's kind of that Gary Vaynerchuk narrative that's so pervasive now of just hustle, 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 hustle. And I'm all for the hustle. I was a huge component of it. But I think we live in an incredibly sort of burnout culture. And I think that I sort of say that sort of busyness is an epidemic. You know, we all spend so much time just running around trying to do the next thing. And, you know, that's one way to get the most out of life. But, you know, I like to tell people that, you know, I always try to chill as hard as I hustle. You know, life's really kind of a counterbalance. It's a yin and yang. You know, there's kind of two sides to the coin. And if you're always pushing on all cylinders, you know, not only are you going to burn out, but, you know, you might get sick, or, you know, you might just forget to stop and smell the roses occasionally. And I think that just chilling as hard as you hustle is something that I'm trying to live by more, but I think it factors into investing as well. I think that, you know, you can't let kind of the best be the enemy of the good. And a lot of people, when it comes to money, they're so afraid of making the wrong decision that they either don't do anything, or they get really emotional and do something stupid. So, you know, having confidence that, you know, You know, you've put sort of simple money habits in place, that, you know, you're saving before you spend, that, you know, you're prioritizing and finding a balance between spending and saving is really important. And then kind of letting it go and not beating yourself up about it. Cause, you know, money itself, chasing it as well as managing it, can become somewhat of an addiction. And, you know, I think we live in a very obsessive culture. We're told to do things faster, faster, faster. And, you know, if you're doing things right with money, time will take care of the rest. And it's really about building those foundational principles and then just saving, you know, as much as you can and having confidence in your strategy. And I think a lot of people, and this is kind of the irony about my story, you know, I there's a lot of luck in what I did. Sure. I benefited from, you know, a growth market. I was able to make a lot of money pretty quickly. But that's kind of the exception to the rule. And what I always try to share is that, you know, you don't have to make $1 million in 5 years. The key is to find the balance that works for you, and just, you know, as I always say, kind of every 1% that you can increase your savings rate, you can retire up to 2 years early. So if you increase your savings rate 1% once a quarter or twice a year, you know, you're already fast tracking your retirement. And so, you know, take it at a pace that makes sense for you. You know, you don't have to always go 200 miles per hour. So that would be kind of my investing and my life advice right there.
That's your book in a nutshell, but still go buy the book. I think too, Grant, similar to what you experienced, being quote unquote successful and I suppose fulfilled in your 20s and forever is owning something, right? Going after whatever it is that you're interested in and being proactive about it, right? This concept of my company's going to take care of me or my employer is going to take care of me or saving, like you said, just 5 or 10% of my salary should be enough. That is mediocre at best. And that really to take control and take yourself and your finances to the right and best level, you have to have more skin in the game and have ownership over your ideas. And even if it's just a side hustle to start, it's better than, I think, being beholden to a paycheck that you have no control over.
Yeah. The more control you have over your income streams, the less stressed you're going to feel. You know, when you're just working a wage job and you've got a boss and, you know, you don't really know how you're being judged, or maybe the company could go under, you're dependent upon the founder or the company. You know, you're putting a lot of stock, in someone else. And then when you're able to reclaim that and make money on your own terms, you know, you just feel a lot more empowered, a lot more free. You know, I think we all know that, you know, the jobs in the future really haven't been created yet. So how can you build your skills and really just be curious and continue to develop in a way, you know, that you'll be able to control, you know, or have more control in kind of your own financial destiny. I think that that's really important as well. And, you know, just kind of giving a quick sort of teaser into the book, you know, essentially it's about time. You know, at the end of the day, we only have, time is our most valuable resource. And it's ironic that younger people have more time. It actually does. It's been sort of psychologically proven that time does move slower when you're younger. You know, people, you get more bored, there's less to do, you have less responsibilities. So how, when you're young, can you take advantage of time in a way that gives you more time later in life? Because at the end of the day, whenever you're making money, you know, you're trading, you know, you're trading your life for it, you're trading your time for it. So how can you build income streams or just design your life in a way that your money is making money and doesn't rely on much as much on your actual time? So at the end of the day, it's just really a trade-off about just kind of, you know, a lot of people, I think, sacrifice too much for money. And to be honest, this is something, you know, I show this in the book, but, you know, I wouldn't call myself really kind of a mindful person, until I made quite a bit of money. You know, I was pretty, you know, I had a really unhealthy relationship with it. I was pretty addicted to it during that 5-year process. But an interesting thing that happened is once I had enough and I knew that I could walk away and I didn't have to worry about money, I felt like I could feel at a deeper level. So like 90% of my brain that was dedicated to making money, it's like all of that is open now. So, you know, I have stronger relationships with my friends. I'm a lot more curious. I'm a lot more calm. And I'm just able to, you know, I think I'm a lot more mindful now, just not having to worry about money. And I'm a lot happier. And it's not in the sense that I can buy anything that I want. It's just that I know that that's taken care of and I'm taken care of. And so I can really start to live life. It just feels a lot fuller to me. And that's something that, to be honest with you, I'm not a new agey person. I never expected that to happen. But, you know, even teaching people about money now it's really kind of become my mission, just because I want more people to feel this way. I hate seeing people, you know, feel trapped in the 9-to-5 or just, you know, feel like there's no way out. So if I can just write about money or teach about money and just kind of inspire or help, you know, even a few people kind of live a different, you know, follow a different path or live a different way. You know, that every email I get from readers on Millennial Money, it is sort of like, you know, more valuable than any dollar that I've made. And that's something that, you know, I didn't expect, I didn't anticipate. And that's really what's most exciting about this whole process, is just being able to help people and realize that there's many paths to wealth. You know, there's not mm-hmm. just one. And I think culture tends to sort of share one path when there's a lot of different ways and you can live life on your own terms.
Great message, Grant. Thank you so much. And we look forward to your book coming out in the spring. Hopefully we can have you back then and catch you on the other side of things and see how you like being an author, published author. I think they're going to like it.
Oh man, writing this book is so intense.
Well, I know your editor, and she is the best editor out there, and she is intense, but that's what you want. You want somebody who's going to kick your butt.
Hey, Farnoosh, this was really a lot of pleasure. I admire your work, and you know, I'm excited to engage with you in, you know, in the future. And yeah, really appreciate you having me on the podcast. It's a lot of fun.
Our pleasure. Thanks, Grant.
Thank you.
Thanks so much to Grant for stopping by. If you'd like to learn more about him and his website, check out millennialmoney.com. You can also follow him on Twitter at millennialmoney. All this information and more is over at somoneypodcast.com. And while you're there, go to the right-hand corner, click on Ask Farnoosh, and send me a question for our Friday episodes. Thanks for tuning in, everyone, and I hope your day is so money. Hosting the So Money podcast for almost 10 years, I've been learning a lot about how to best serve you outside the show. I've begun to offer pop-up workshops and a So Money members club. And with each new line of business, a lot goes on behind every transaction. Stripe helps simplify and ease payments with Tap to Pay on iPhone, which helps me grow revenue and reach through accepting more in-person contactless payments when I'm out in real life promoting my programs. Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe give me the ability to scale quickly and stay flexible with quick setup and no additional hardware required. And it's not just ideal for me. From local pop-ups to global retailers, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe help businesses of all sizes accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. Whether your customers want to use their card, Apple Pay, or other digital wallet, now you can accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.